Welcome into the show today, guys. I hope you had a great opening day yesterday. This is Fantasy MLB Today, and I am your host, Joe Orico. You guys can find me on Twitter at JoeOrico99. So that's at JoeOrico99. And we've seen a ton of followers come in these last few days. I really appreciate it. The DMs keep coming. The followers keep coming. So that is much appreciated. And the downloads keep going up for the show as well. We're finding more listeners every single day. So to all you guys that have shared it, liked it, downloaded it, followed me, all of that good stuff, thank you so much. Really appreciate it as we kick off the season here. Now, this is going to be the first show that follows the general template that I want to use going forward. We saw a little bit of that yesterday, but today we have real games to recap. So that'll be a huge part of what the content is around here going forward. So we're going to do a game recap, look ahead to today's games, talk about players who've been added and dropped, and then we'll give you another DFS lineup for today. So the first game of the afternoon yesterday was the Cubs and the Brewers. I got to say, I was expecting a little bit better from Corbin Burns. It wasn't bad by any stretch, but it definitely wasn't great. Giving up a home run to Nico Hoerner was really funny. The guy who hasn't hit a home run in a couple of years, really shocking to see him go yard. I wouldn't go and add Nico Hoerner. I don't think you're going to have too many repeat appearances of that throughout the season. But it was kind of fun to see on opening day. Not terribly concerning for Burns, despite it not being a great outing. You just have to hope he bounces back next week. He was your first-round pick. So, I mean, it's obviously a little bit concerning to see not a great team like the Cubs get to him. Get to him a little bit, not like they didn't blow him away or anything, but they got to him a little bit. It's a little concerning for sure if he's the number one player you picked, but I wouldn't be too worried about Corbin. On the other side, Kyle Hendricks actually looked really good. He had the strikeout numbers going, which is something I talked about yesterday, that he doesn't really strike out people a lot, but he, of course, made a liar out of me, struck out 7 over 5 1/3. It's promising for sure. Last year he started out fairly well, and then he hit a wall at a certain point in the season, close to the midway point, and that was that for him. I like him. You know, he should be on rosters at this point in the season. I mean, will he come around to hurt you eventually throughout the season? There's a decent chance of that. I don't think he's going to be a great option throughout the season. But, you know, there he's still available in some leagues. If you're lacking a little bit in starting pitching, he's rostered about 73% of leagues. So he's still on some waiver wires out there. And I think he should be rostered at this point in the season. That makes sense. Keep your expectations fairly low. But, yeah, he's worth rostering at this point. In terms of the individual players in this game, Nico Hoerner is definitely one who stuck out with that home run. Not too much here that's glaring. There's a couple hits from Andrew McCutchen, a couple hits from Rowdy Tellez. I think those guys should probably both be rostered. Tellez is more of a deeper league guy, but he is someone with, you know, a lot of power potential. We saw him here in Toronto for a little while, and he has a lot of raw power that needs to be controlled, and he needs to, you know, figure out how to control that a little bit better. But Tellez and Andrew McCutchen are deeper league guys for sure, but I think that they can definitely be curious adds early on in the season. They're not rostered in a high percentage of leagues, but, you know, they'll be in the middle of this lineup. I have hope that they can be successful throughout the season. Now, they're not must-roster players by any means, but they're certainly interesting if you need an outfielder in McCutchen's case, or if you need a first baseman with Tellez. Not the most exciting of box scores here, but it wasn't such a bad game to start off the season as I had forecasted. I didn't think it was going to be terrible, but I didn't think it was such a marquee game to start the season on, but it was a fine game. It was a totally fine game. Let's move on to the Guardians and the Royals. The Royals ended up taking this one 3-1. I did think that they would probably pull it out at home. And Zach Greinke gave them a really excellent start, 5 2/3, 5 hits against, only 1 earned run. He only struck out 1 batter, which isn't great for you category league guys like myself for the most part. But, you know, he was very serviceable against a substandard team. So you have to taper your expectations a little bit going forward with Zach. I think that he could be like a low-end, back-end, back-of-your-rotation kind of value guy this season. it's not set in stone, and he is getting on in years, but I think he can be someone that you can probably comfortably roster at the back of your rotation, and he shouldn't hurt you too bad as the season goes on. Now, Shane Bieber only threw 4 2/3. He gave up 3 hits, struck out 4. He was okay, you know. He threw 72 pitches over 4 2/3. The strikeouts weren't crazy high like you'd kind of hope them to be. But he didn't get rocked around or anything. It was more Tristan McKenzie here who came in and didn't do a terribly great job. They wanted to get him a relief appearance before he's named to be their 5th starter. So he came in, he pitched 3 innings. He gave up 2 runs. Both of them earned. He walked a couple of guys. And he took the loss. So not what you would have wanted to see out of McKenzie if you drafted him. I know I drafted him in one particular league. And not the greatest of starts for sure, but we'll move on because it's not the biggest of deals, and I do think he can turn it around. On the Kansas City side, we had Bobby Witt Jr. have his first career base hit, and it was a go-ahead double to left, which put them out on top, and I think that that was ended up being the game-winning run there. So nice to see a top prospect come up and succeed like that in his first game. Not a lot of hits in this low-scoring affair. There were only 5 for Kansas City and 7 for Cleveland. So a fairly low-scoring affair. Not much else to talk about there. Let's move on to the Cardinals and the Pirates, which was more of a high-scoring affair on the St. Louis side, an offensive explosion on their half. And all the guys who you want to look good in that lineup, all of their marquee guys, Goldschmidt, O'Neill, Arenado, Bader, Edman, Dylan Carlson, they all had good games. All of their marquee guys had really good games. And the standout was Tyler O'Neill, who had the home run, drove in five, a couple of hits, and a base on balls. Very, very good game for Tyler O'Neill. Hopefully he can keep that up going forward. He's someone we talked about on the show as being perhaps a dark horse MVP candidate in the National League. And we'll see if he can keep up that kind of production. We saw Ke'Bryan Hayes leave the game early on. Not ideal for sure. It was his forearm. They expect him to be back for Saturday. So obviously if you drafted Ke'Bryan, that's a bit concerning. But it's not expected to be something that is going to hinder him in the long term. Definitely something to keep an eye on. And it may lead to more playing time for the man who came in and replaced him in this game, who was Diego Castillo, who we've talked about at length on Twitter, as well as on the show here once or twice. If he does go down again, which is not out of the realm of possibility, then it would open the door to a lot more playing time for Castillo. And I do like Castillo as a speculative ad in a lot of leagues, particularly deeper leagues, but I do think he has a lot of potential there. On the Pirates side, other than Hayes, not too much to report on. Yoshi Susugo had a couple of base hits. The Pirates are not going to be a terribly attractive team fantasy-wise this year. Hayes is someone you should roster. Brian Reynolds is someone you should roster. Outside of that, it's tricky to get to must roster guys here. And even Hayes with the injury stuff, he should be on rosters for now. But the must roster tag may disappear very quickly from Ke'Bryan Hayes. Other than those two guys, Castillo is someone to keep an eye on. He went 0-3. Not ideal. It is his debut, right? Everybody making their debut, you got to give them a little bit more leeway than you would other guys. It takes a while to get accustomed to the major leagues. So, I mean, 0-3 with a strikeout. Not great, but we have to just move on. Adam Wainwright was fantastic. He threw 6 innings, 5 hits, struck out 6, didn't walk a batter, no runs against. Can he do it again? Can he have one more fantastic season like he did last year, just completely out of the blue? Be a Cy Young candidate here when it's supposed to be like a farewell tour kind of thing. So very promising stuff. He should be on a roster. If he's not on a roster, I think he is on like 90% of rosters. But if he's not rostered, go grab him. Because if he could do what he did last year, he was like a top 50, 60 player last year. He was fantastic. So I know it's against a bad Pirates team, so keep the expectations somewhat on the simmer. But, you know, it's a great start. He had a better start than most pitchers had today. He was probably the best pitcher who went today. Definitely in the top two or three. Brubaker did not have a particularly great outing. Three innings, four runs, all of them earned. Walked three, and he gave up a long ball. Not ideal whatsoever. Not someone who should be rostered in any format, in my opinion. Let's move on to the Mets and the Nationals. And, you know, Tyler McGill looked fantastic. I know I said Wainwright might have been the best guy, but it might have been McGill. Five innings, three hits, six strikeouts. Go grab him. Go grab him if you still can. He's going to be picked up a lot today. He was picked up a lot yesterday for the stream, but those guys who picked him up are not letting him go. He was not going to be just a one-day stream for most people anyway. Maybe for some people, they streamed him and they dropped him foolishly. Crazy high potential. Now, he is going into a start against the Phillies on the road, so you may see him regress a little bit. I wouldn't expect the same level of dominance. That being said, he should be on a roster. He should absolutely be on a roster, especially with the starting job all but secured for the next couple months. Go grab him. The Nationals threw Patrick Corbin, who actually looked not too bad for a little while, and it all kind of fell apart in the fifth, I believe. Ended up with a line of four innings, five hits, two earned runs, struck out four, and walked two. Not terrible. Not a terrible outing from Corbin. I didn't expect much from him going in. But, you know, yeah, he's not really someone who you need to worry about rostering in most leagues. Deeper leagues, you might have to roster him more. Just for a lack of other options who can go deep. But he's only rostered in about 20% of leagues. So we're looking at really, really deeper formats in terms of having him rostered. Not somebody who I like for fantasy very much. In terms of the individual players, we had a Juan Soto home run on the Nationals side. That was about all the good news for them there. The Mets had some pretty good production out of their lineup. Out of their starters, everybody had a hit except for James McCann. They had Robinson Cano back in the lineup, who they didn't have, I don't even think for a... Did they have him at all last year? Maybe at the beginning for a couple... No, I don't even think they had him at all last year. So Robbie Cano came back, had a couple of hits, scored a couple of runs. A couple of hits for Mark Canna, a couple of hits for Jeff McNeil, and a couple of hits for Pete Alonso. At this point in the season with batters in particular, it's too hard to really judge them on adding and dropping. Most of my add drop suggestions at this point of the season will be pitching. Now, there will be the odd player who might break out over the next couple games. If we see Nico Hoerner keep hitting home runs, then by all means, go grab him. But most of my additions and subtractions are going to be on the pitching side. I like to give the batters a little bit more time for what it's worth. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but I tend to give batters a couple of weeks where, with pitchers, I give them like a start or two. Maybe that's unfair of me. But that just tends to be how I do it. Let's move on to the Reds and the Braves. Disappointing outing a little bit from Max Fried. Not ideal. You got to be really looking for him to bounce back next time out, though. He's going to be going up against the Nationals, and I do expect a lot better from him. I mean, it's almost guaranteed that you're going to see a better outing from him next time out against the Nats. I'm not worried about Max at all, really. His opponent, Tyler Molly, did a fantastic job. Really impressive. He's looking like he can be a massive steal in draft days. He's someone that I targeted in a couple of leagues, and it looks like it may pay off if he's able to keep this up. Let's move on. Astros and Angels. Framber Valdez was unreal. He was fantastic. 6 2/3, only two hits, one walk. Strikeout six, really overall a great outing from Framber. And another guy in that same boat as Molly that you could have probably gotten at a decent discount this year, and it may pay dividends for you. On the Angels side, Ohtani, I'd be a little cautious going forward. He threw 4 2/3. He struck out nine. He looked great. I would just be cautious about making sure that the Angels don't go to use him as a primary fielder and then just ditch the pitching. I don't think that'll happen. But they may lessened load on him depending on how he performs. He started off well, so we'll have to see. But you got to be careful with Ohtani in the pitcher side. People may have overpaid because he won the MVP. They may have overpaid for him this year. And it's something that happens, right, with MVPs, even if they're going to, even if it doesn't look like they still can do what they did the previous year, people will draft them simply because of the awards. Not just MVP, but even with the Cy Young. Look at Robbie Ray, right? Robbie Ray probably went a bit higher than he should have this year. So that's just something to keep in mind. The last game of the night was the Padres and the Diamondbacks. So we talked about it on Twitter a little bit. Disappointing for Robert Suarez for sure to come in and have the outing that he did, blow the save. Really didn't look very impressive. He's throwing very hard. He's throwing 100, but without control, it doesn't really matter what you're throwing. He let all the three runs come in. They didn't actually score while he was on the mound, but Craig Stammen came in and threw the wild pitch, gave up the home run, and that was that. Tough for those two guys. Maybe Taylor Rogers will be the guy for saves there going forward. It's hard to say. If you picked up Suarez already, then hold on for now, but keep expectations fairly low. As for the starters, Yu Darvish looked fantastic. 6 innings, didn't give up a hit. He did walk 4, but if it was any other time in the year other than opening day, opening week, I think that he would have continued to go. The pitch count wasn't too high, I don't think. Was it 92? A little bit high. If it was later in the season, I would have looked for him to continue there. Great start for him. Mad Bum did okay. He threw 68 pitches over 3 innings. Madison Bumgarner, for those of you not familiar with the nickname. 4 walks, only 1 hit, 1 earned run, and he struck out 2. Not particularly impressive. You guys who streamed him in yesterday can go ahead and send him back to the waiver wire. Let's quickly go over the games that are going to be happening today. Red Sox and Yankees, we look to have a great pitching matchup there. Gerrit Cole and Nathan Eovaldi. I'm looking for the Yankees to come out on top there. But, you know, it should be a good matchup. Two very high-powered lineups. It looks like it'll be a fun game. The White Sox and the Tigers. And just with the Yankees-Red Sox, that was supposed to be the first game of the season. But because of the delay from yesterday, they've been pushed back to today. The White Sox and the Tigers, I'm looking for the White Sox to perform well here. And now, I won't be getting so much into starting lineups, partly because some of them haven't been released at the time of recording. And also, you can spend hours and hours just going over starting lineups, and I feel like the pitching is the more important topic at this time of year. Eduardo Rodriguez and Lucas Giolito, I'm looking for Giolito to definitely outperform Rodriguez, certainly throughout the season, but today for sure, I'm expecting a better outing from the White Sox. I guess he's the ace now with Lance Lynn gone. I guess it's one or the other between them. But I think it's safe to say he's the ace. He's pitching against an up-and-coming team for sure. Not a great team, though, in a pitcher-friendly ballpark. So I'm looking for Giolito to have a good outing there. The next game is the Brewers and the Cubs, and you know what? I think the Brewers and the Cubs is actually, yeah, they've postponed the Brewers and the Cubs. I think we have some bad weather over there, so they have postponed the Brewers and Cubs. That's baseball, guys. There are no stadiums. There are no domes, really. There are a few, but a lot of games get postponed in baseball. You won't see it in other sports. It is an annoying part of being a baseball fan, for sure. Next, we have the Athletics and the Phillies. We have Frankie Montas and Aaron Nola. I'm hoping that I'm hoping that Nola can turn it around from last year a little bit. High strikeout numbers, but the ERA really concerning. So if he gets the ERA down, look for him to be a top pitcher in the National League this year for sure. And someone who was fairly discounted in drafts, I found. Frankie Montas, now we'll have to see. The start time is scheduled for 3 o'clock. He'll probably still be an Oakland Athletic at the time. They've been looking to trade him for a while, but I think it's safe to say he'll be starting this game. It's fairly safe to say. You never know with the Oakland Athletics. They like to gut their team, as they've showed us this offseason. Really unfortunate for Oakland Athletic fans. I'm sorry for you guys who follow the team and have to deal with the cheap ownership. It's not right for these guys who have so much money to gut their teams and do their fan bases like this. But it is what it is. We'll see if Montas is still on the roster. I think by the trade deadline, he'll be gone, but we'll see how long that really takes. Moving on to the Orioles and the Rays, I'm looking for Shane McClanahan to get off to a strong start at home here. Not probably the same for John Means. I mean, it's a good lefty-lefty matchup for opening day. You like it? I mean, we're not technically opening day anymore, but opening day for these guys. Opening day part two, I guess, is what we'll probably end up calling this show. Because a lot of teams didn't go yesterday. It was more of a mini opening day, especially with the games getting canceled. I don't expect much from John Means this year. I think that he has it. He has potential, sure. But I don't think that you can expect much playing for the Orioles. That's where a big part of it comes from. He's going to be a good guy, but how good, right? I don't know if he's probably rosterable, probably, but he's going to be starting against the American League East quite a bit. So I'm not jumping to, if he's not rostered, it's honestly a tough call for me, but I'm thinking he's probably not really worth your time. McClanahan definitely is. McClanahan is definitely worth having on a roster this year. And more than that, he'll be one of your better pitchers, most likely. I mean, he's projected to do very well this year. I think he will. I like what I saw from him last year. He had a lot of power-ish pitcher kind of potential in him. I don't know. There's something about the way that he delivers. I talked about this the other day. There's something I just really like about the way he pitches. I think he'll be very successful, and it's a very good opening day matchup. Not too difficult there. The Dodgers and the Rockies is the next game. I expect the Dodgers are going to lay a whooping on the Rockies here on the road. Let's see how this lineup goes. Let's see how they do. Walker Buehler, I think he'll do fine. Obviously, any pitcher pitching in Colorado, there is risk associated with it. But I like Walker Buehler there for sure. I like him in pretty much every instance. This is maybe one of the riskier environments to start him, but I like him. Kyle Freeland, you want to stay as far away from as possible for today. Do not stream, do not roster, none of that stuff. The next game is the Mariners and the Twins, and we have Robbie Ray and Joe Ryan going up against one another. Fairly good pitching matchup. I think in that the Mariners are probably going to pull away here, and I'd expect to see Robbie Ray probably turn in a decent outing. You know, he's his first outing as a Cy Young winner. So we'll see what he can do on the road. I think he'll do pretty well. I expect the Mariners to pull ahead there. Marlins and Giants are going ahead at 4:35 Eastern time. We have Sandy Alcantara and Logan Webb. Great pitching matchup there. Really great pitching matchup down in the Bay. I would be looking for probably a low-scoring game there. And I think both of those guys are safe to deploy in DFS today. The Mets-Nationals game, we have Max Scherzer going up against the guy who was traded for him, which is Josiah Gray. Traded for him to the Dodgers. I'm sure the Dodgers are real thrilled they gave up a top pitching prospect just to lose in the NLCS. Not thrilled, I'm sure. But Gray looks really good. Gray looks really good. There were times last year where I thought that he was going to do a bit better than he did. There was a couple of outings where he had double-digit strikeouts, which obviously was great. Now, I'm not particularly excited about him today. I mean, I think that he's a decent value play today if you want to stream him. And we'll talk about DFS later. I think he's an interesting DFS play. But not someone that I think is a must-roster by any means. And as for Scherzer, should be a very safe outing for him there. We'll take a look and see how late he's able to go into this ball game, but I think it's a safe play to use Max today. Cincinnati and Atlanta, Reavers, San Martin, and Charlie Morton. I'm staying away from San Martin. I'm not 100% sure there. I would deploy Charlie Morton today. I'd stay away from San Martin. A couple more games now in the later slate. The Astros and the Angels, Jake Odorizzi and Reed Detmers. I'm probably sticking away from both of these guys as well. I'm expecting more of a high-scoring game over here. Not terribly notable arms over there. So I'm thinking we're probably going to see a bit of an offensive explosion. And the last game of the evening is the Padres and the Diamondbacks. Now, Sean Manaea will be making his first regular season start for the Padres. And we'll see how he's able to fare and if it made sense for them to trade Chris Paddock and bring him in as they didn't directly replace one another, but essentially they swapped those guys in their rotation. So we'll see how that works out for them. Merrill Kelly, I like Merrill Kelly, but I'd be a little bit cautious about deploying him here today. Let's briefly talk about some of the guys who have been added in the most leagues today. I did go into it last night on Twitter a little bit, and you guys want to be following me on Twitter so that you guys can have all of your information covered. Even if you don't have time to watch the show one day, it could still just be a quick couple minutes check on Twitter there, and you guys get the gist of what I have been talking about here on the show. So the top two guys being added are both guys who have save opportunity potential, David Robertson and Tony Santillan. I'm not great with pronouncing names, and I don't tend to listen to a ton of Reds broadcasts, and I won't be this year for sure. I can guarantee you that. So I'm really not sure how Tony pronounces his last name. Those guys are both worth speculative adds, especially if you're rather shallow at the closer position. I like both of them. You know, you got to be careful, but at the same time, at this point of the year, if there's an opportunity for saves, you kind of have to jump on it because saves are a very scarce category. Tyler McGill is also still being added. Yes, go and get him. He won't be available for very long. The roster percentage is at 33. I would expect by the time he starts next, we're going to be well over 50. We'll see, but I think he's going to be someone whose roster percentage goes up and up and up. A couple of starters are the next guys. Josiah Gray, Jake Odorizzi. Not too confident in Odorizzi. Maybe I feel a little bit better about Gray, but be careful when grabbing both of them. There are some leagues that don't have acquisition limits per league per week, so in those instances, it's a lot safer to stream guys. And if you have a limited number of streams, I wouldn't be bothering with either of them. Josh Lowe, his roster percentage is up to 54%, and he will be in the starting lineup here on opening day as the designated hitter for the Rays. Definitely someone you want to go and take a look at, a speculative add for sure, but someone with five category potential. Anthony Bender is also being added in quite a few instances. I'm trying to stay away from the Marlins closers altogether, their relievers, because I really have not much faith that they're going to actually name one closer. I think it'll be more closer by committee, which doesn't help us here on the fantasy side very much at all. Let's go talk about some guys who have been dropped mostly over the last, who've been dropped today mostly. Robert Suarez is the number one guy. Now, I would, if you already grabbed him, I'd be cautious, especially with leagues where you have a limit of acquisitions for the week. Typically, four is about standard, between four and six. If you have four and you've already used one on Suarez, I would wait and I would see how the save opportunities work out this first week or so, because it was bad, but he had a lot of power. He was throwing 100 almost every pitch. If he can control that, then he'd be definitely worth a look, but a cautious look for sure. Madison Bumgarner getting dropped in a lot of spots, as is Patrick Corbin, JT Brubaker. Go ahead, drop them. No need to roster them. They're just stream guys who were in for yesterday, and none of them was particularly great. Tristan McKenzie is also being dropped in a lot of leagues. I don't think that makes sense. I think that he needs to get his footing this season. He had a relief appearance, which is what they wanted to do before they bring him back into the rotation. So I think it's definitely a knee-jerk reaction to go drop him. I wouldn't go and do that just yet. I think he's definitely worth holding on to for now. Let's talk a little bit now. We've covered yesterday's games and today's games. Let's talk about some daily fantasy stuff. So yesterday I had a score of 103.3 in my lineup. Fairly comfortable with that. I'd like it to be higher going forward, obviously, but on opening day there are still a lot of question marks, and we hit big time on 3 out of our 10 guys, and we had 2 zeros on the board, and one of the zeros was my fault because I was not paying attention after the Pirates announced Diego Castillo would not be starting. Now, he did end up playing most of the game as Key Brian Hayes left early, but, you know, I should have been more on it. I just had a lot to do yesterday. So there was a zero in my lineup from him and a zero from Adalberto Mondesi, who I'm still preaching that you should be going for in DFS. He's still going to be a cheap option early at this point in the year. And he's not going to be someone who is going to play the whole year, most likely. Just a lot of injuries. We had Tyler McGill, who really performed well yesterday, 28.3 fantasy points. And Max Fried, who had eight, not the greatest. Those are my pitchers. McGill was great. Fried was not. They kind of evened each other out there on the pitching side. Honestly, I was probably expecting something maybe reverse of this a little bit. McGill was great. And it was not against a great team. So something to keep in mind there. That does matter. Next week against the Phillies, it might be a little bit harder to keep him in your lineups. You're gonna have to really evaluate what you have going on. I believe it's next Tuesday he's projected to start. You guys have to really be careful and see how your week's going, because this first week of the season is an extended, like, 10-day fantasy week. So you'll have a decent idea of how your ERA and stuff is shaping up and strikeouts, what you're looking for. So deploy with caution next week, and don't be upset if he's not as dominant as he was today. I had Tyler Stevenson behind the plate. He brought in 6.4 points. Luke Voit at first, 7.1. Those are serviceable numbers, nothing spectacular. Jose Ramirez I had at third at 7.1 points. Brian Reynolds, 2.6 in the first outfield slot. We didn't have a fantastic day. But here's where we hit on a couple of guys. We hit on Tyler O'Neill big time. He had 27 fantasy points. I believe he had the highest fantasy score of anybody who is not a pitcher. He went yard. He drove in 5 runs. He walked. Had a single. He was really valuable. And Yordan Alvarez also went yard as well as walking. So he had 16.8 fantasy points. You know, anything like that. If a guy is getting you, I don't know, anything really is nice in these daily baseball, because in the daily fantasy baseball world, because there is a lot of variables that go into how a player's season goes together. So I'm terribly phrased there. There's a lot of ups and downs that go into a season, and even an MVP player is going to bring you zeros on the board more times than one in fantasy baseball, in daily fantasy baseball, in fantasy in general. But in the daily side, you have to know that that's going to happen, and know that you're not going to hit every time, because there are guys. There will be times where Vladimir Guerrero goes 0-for-4, where Juan Soto goes 0-for-4, where, you know, Max Scherzer gets rocked around and you just wasted a bunch of money there. So things like that will happen. So it's something to keep an eye on, to be careful of. Let me give you guys my lineup that I am going to be deploying today. And we're starting to get some lineups out there. We don't have a ton of stuff confirmed, but some of the earlier slates we do. So my starters for today are Josiah Gray on the daily side here. I'm not totally sold on him in a season-long format, but I think for today he's cheap enough at $28 that I feel fairly comfortable putting him in the lineup there. The strikeout potential, he could definitely return me like 20 points, and I think that's really possible. Pitchers are the most expensive players on the daily side here for baseball, so you have to spend quite a bit more for pitchers than you would for the average position player. That being said, $28 feels like a decent price for him. I have Sean Manaea at 35 as my second pitcher. I think it's a really good matchup for him, and he is a guy I'm targeting in daily today. I think he's going to have a great outing against Arizona. Now, as for my batters, you guys who listen know I'm a Toronto guy, and I really like Toronto sports in general, but I love my Blue Jays. I am going to the Blue Jays game tonight. I am going to be in the outfield there in left field for the season opener. And I am expecting big things from the team this year, and I'm expecting them to start tonight. They're facing John Gray, who I don't think he's that great. I did talk about how he could be a good later round draft target this year because of his new situation, getting away from Colorado, and this, that, and the other. I just don't think he's going to be successful tonight. I'm expecting the Jays are going to lay a beating on him, and I have 5 Blue Jays in my lineup tonight. You can say it's biased, and it might be a little bit biased, but it's not as though I am an Arizona Diamondbacks fan or a Pittsburgh Pirate fan saying, yeah, you guys need to stack 6 Pirates in your lineup tonight, or you guys need to have, you know, Carson Kelly and a bunch of Diamondbacks in your lineup tonight. Like, I wouldn't steer you guys wrong. I think that the Blue Jays are going to come out of the gate firing this year. I think I don't know. This is a home opener in Toronto. They haven't had that in a couple of years. All the travel they had to do these last couple of seasons, I expect big things from them tonight. So I have at catcher Alejandro Kirk for $9. I have Matt Chapman for 15 at third. I think Matt Chapman's going to go yard tonight. That's my prediction. Bo Bichette I have at short. George Springer in the outfield and Teoscar Hernandez also in the outfield. And their prices are $9 for Kirk, 15 for Chapman, 20 for Bo, 19 for George Springer, and 21 for Teoscar Hernandez. All fairly reasonably priced players, especially Alejandro Kirk. I think he'll slot somewhere into the middle, later half of that lineup, maybe in the 5 or 6 slot, perhaps. 5, 6, 6, 7 in that range. I think that at this price, and at the price you guys were paying to get him on draft day, I think he can have a really valuable season. I have Jesus Aguilar as my first baseman. I really like the matchup against Logan Webb for him. I think that he'll have a good game tonight, and hard to predict a long ball exactly. I think that it'll be a long ball for Matt Chapman. That's just a gut feeling I have. Aguilar, I think we can count on him for a decent return tonight. Trey Turner is who I have at second base. He is my big splurge play in the among my position players today. And the Dodgers have announced their lineup. He'll be batting third. Not your typical number three hitter. I would probably have him leading off because of that speed, personally. But I'm also not a World Series champion manager like Dave Roberts is. So we'll trust him. I think the three slot, I think he'll move around a little bit, but I like him in that three slot. I think he has great potential today, especially against the Rockies there on the road. I'm looking for him to probably be the top performer in my lineup for today. And the last player that I have is Mitch Haniger at $16. I have him in the outfield. I think it's a cheap price. He'll be batting fourth today against Minnesota. I like it for 16. I think it's really cheap. I really like him there. So let's just quickly go over once again. I have John Gray and Sean Manaea as my pitchers. Alejandro Kirk behind the plate. Jesus Aguilar at first. Trey Turner at second. Matt Chapman at third. Bo Bichette at short. George Springer in the outfield, as well as Teoscar Hernandez and Mitch Haniger. So that'll be our show for today, guys. This is typically going to be how it's laid out throughout the season. We'll do some recaps. We'll do some looking ahead to the next day's games, which will typically be on the day of. But we'll look ahead to games as well as looking back on games. We will also do ads and drops, so guys who have been added in the most instances and guys who have been dropped and my guidance on those guys. And we'll hit you with the DFS stuff because I do enjoy me some daily fantasy sports. We'll go over the previous day and we'll talk about if they hit. Last night I did not hit. There was no profit last night. 103.3 is... Some nights going to be enough, some nights it's not. The cutoff in the tournament that I entered yesterday for money was 110, so we were just shy of the money, and that's probably, we can blame that on Max Fried, as much as I love the guy. If he'd been a little bit better, then we would have been in the money for yesterday, but that's all good. We will do better today and going forward, I have no question about that. And I'll be fully honest with you guys, I'm not going to tell you guys I've won a tournament or whatever if I haven't, or you know, be deceitful, change my lineups the day after. You guys have it all here. You can check me and see if I'm lying to you guys. And I will never lie to you guys. I will always be honest about who I've had in my lineup and if those lineups were good for that day. Because I think that's something that's really important is trust and full disclosure. And you want to know, you guys are trusting me to listen to me. So you guys want to know how I'm doing honestly in terms of my own fantasy. I think that's something that's a little bit overlooked perhaps in the fantasy sports community is how content creators do in their own leagues. It's not really, it's talked about, it's mentioned at the end of the year and stuff, but it's not something that is really talked about so much is how people do in their own leagues. So I'll try and keep you guys up to date on how I'm doing in my leagues. I had a good start to the season yesterday, for sure. But I think it's important to have that going forward. You guys should know how I'm doing. I think that makes total sense. You guys should have the option at least to know how is Joe doing in his leagues. Is he succeeding? Did he draft well? Is he picking up well off the waiver wire? Is he advising me right? So I think that full disclosure is really important between content creator and content watcher/listener. So I thank you guys for tuning in today. This is like the opening day part two show. It's coming to you a little bit later than I would have anticipated. There was some technical stuff going on. I tried to get it out to you a little bit earlier, but we had some problems. So I'm sorry that there will have been a game or two that has started by the time you guys hear this. It was just out of my control. But we will try and give you shows as early as possible going forward, so you guys have as much time as you need to properly set your lineups and do your ads, drops, and the whole rest of it. Really appreciate you guys continuing to follow me on Twitter. I'll give you the handles once again. It's at JoeOrrico99, so at JoeOrrico99. You guys can follow me there, and you'll get lists posted throughout the days of players to add, players to drop, quick hits, things like that, buy low, sell high. I plan to have a fairly active Twitter presence, and I appreciate if you guys can go and follow me there. And if you guys want to go ahead and follow the Ethos Fantasy BB account, which is where the show is posted out from every day. I also post the show on my account, but this is where the show is mainly posted from. So you guys want to go ahead and follow there and follow me on Twitter at my personal account, so you guys have the full balance between the Twitter and the pod. So if you don't have time to watch the show one day, that's fine. We hope you're downloading it anyway, but you can go and check on Twitter and see what you need to know on the fantasy side by following me. So I hope you guys go ahead and follow those pages and continue to follow and rate the show. We really appreciate all those reviews, particularly if you're going to leave a 5-star review. It helps us move up the podcasting algorithm, however exactly it works, and helps us to be seen more. So the more you guys share it out and the more you guys like, review, download, follow, subscribe, all of those good things, it really helps me out and it really helps out Sports Ethos. So thank you for tuning in today. I will see you guys on Monday. It's kind of sad that we're just getting into the meat of it and now we are on the weekend, but that's why you want to be following me on Twitter, because I will keep you guys up to date over the weekend as to the big news stuff, the big ad drop decisions mostly. And I'm also available to answer any questions you guys may have via DM, or if you want to just tweet at me. Either or, I will answer, no problem. So thank you guys for tuning in, and I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. We will see you on Monday. Cheers.